Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast, a show where I explore red-hot product marketing topics with experts from the industry. I'm your host, Lawrence Chapman, and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. In this episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Sandeep Barrar, an experienced product marketer and team leader. During his product marketing career, Sandeep's worked at globally recognized brands such as Microsoft, LinkedIn, and Deliveroo, and has since pivoted into a full-stack marketing role. In this episode, Sandeep discusses a range of topics, including the differences between working in B2B and B2C, why he moved into full-stack marketing, skills product marketers can transfer to a full-stack role, and tips for building and scaling a team, plus much, much more. Sandeep, thanks so much for joining me. So just to start, please, could you just explain your career history to date?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Lawrence. So yeah, sure. I graduated in 2009 at Aston University, and I sort of always had this passion to go into technology. So having done my internship at Microsoft in 2008, it was sort of a natural progression for me to sort of find my way back into that fold. And I did. I managed to land a graduate role at Microsoft and sort of went through the motions of working in the Bing team, which has now made a massive resurgence with ChatGPT. And back then, it's pretty interesting because, what we did in a quarter, Google would do in 2 days, and how those tectonic plates are shifting now is really interesting. But my background started with data, working through the motions of understanding how to make decisions with data, using SQL, using Excel, and so being an analyst really. So it's really interesting there. And I really don't think I had an idea of where I wanted to end up. I felt that advertising was pretty booming, maybe go there. But also generally, marketing felt like a good fit and product felt like a good fit. Product was very different back then, about, 10 to 12 years ago. So, fast forwarding, I thought, I had a passion for gaming. So let's go into Microsoft Gaming. Being in Microsoft gives you this great opportunity of moving around into different business functions. It's just a fantastic company to work for. And I worked in Microsoft Studios. So we ended up, building a free-to-play game when the Candy Crush Sagas of the world were being built. We wanted to sort of tap into the freemium market. So my role there was as a head of business management. So working out how we monetize the product itself and working with the product management team, working with the marketing team. But also it felt a little bit detached as well. It didn't feel like meaty enough. It felt almost like a little bit of an admin job because you're working through with SMEs to figure out how to market their product better with a bit of funds. So it wasn't really as appealing as I initially thought it would be. But the fact that I got to work in gaming was fantastic. And the experience that I would always, come to enjoy and look back on as one of the best experiences. And then I went to a sort of different area of Microsoft, which is product intelligence. So this is where I went into the data science team, given that my data background back then, I used to work with the Surface team, the Xbox team, to figure out how to ship more units of these particular, hardware products, which is really good for us. And figuring out how data science can help us make better decisions and better sort of marketing campaigns that would allow us to sell more of these products. So all in all, my Microsoft career sort of converged in being a bit about data, a bit about marketing, a bit about data science and going deeper, making decisions with data. And all of these were the foundational pieces that led me to my role at LinkedIn, which is product marketing. The genesis of my role really springs from the fact that to be a good product marketer, you really need to understand data. You need to be able to make decisions with data. You need to sort of understand the psyche of the product team. How do they work? What are the sort of sprints and techniques that they use that helps you make better decisions in marketing? And it was a fantastic role. I was looking after the mere product marketing aspect, what I would call last mile delivery, where you have the product is built in Silicon Valley, then it's shipped over to the other markets, EMEA, and you've got to basically figure out how you drive high levels of adoption. So it's a pretty interesting role, but focus on more what I call outbound marketing as opposed to inbound marketing, where you're sort of really understanding and analyzing the problem. So I felt that being the gap in my skill set, I went to Deliveroo. It's obviously a British company. It's incubated there. The tech stack is British. Everything is British. And it allowed me to sort of bridge the gap between the inbound bit, which is around understanding the product, understanding what product market fit means, understanding the customer, understanding how you look at the unit economics of a specific feature, and then sort of translating that into sort of a marketing, campaign or something that pays off that product effort. So interesting thing. I launched Pickup in the UK. So if you see that on the Deliveroo app, I launched that. And that was a really fantastic achievement for me. And then that really was the basis of me falling in love with product marketing, because it felt like this was a good fit. I love data. I had to make decisions with it. And now the secret sauce is, how do you translate that into something that's worthy of going outbound and selling something on the streets or online? And how do you actually get it to work? And that's the secret sauce, really, is figuring out how you make these decisions, because it can be challenging. And then I moved into real money gaming at Entain, which is a really interesting experience for me, into a director of product marketing and a growth role. So a lot more inbound stuff, outbound. It's a very established company. So they have very established brands like Ladbrokes and Bwin. So it was a really interesting proposition there. And then I was given this opportunity to move to Dubai, where I was effectively given the keys to manage the entire full stack marketing for a startup in the gaming world that was based out of Dubai, but the offices and the operations were also in Africa. So it was a fantastic opportunity. And that was my transition into full stack marketing. And now I'm in fintech in the B2B space, having been in B2C all these years. I'm now in B2B for a fintech startup in Dubai. And I'm loving it. So that's a bit about my career, probably longer than you needed, but it gives you color and context around the genesis of my career was around in understanding how to make decisions with data and figure out how to get these things out the door and how to measure success and look back.
Yeah, that sounds great. And it's just always nice to hear when someone actually has the opportunity to work in an area that they're actually really passionate about. Obviously, yourself with like gaming and then being able to transition into the gaming industry. So that's, it's always nice to hear, when you're working in an area that actually truly interests you. So you're currently playing your trade in the fintech industry. So what's it been like moving from B2C to B2B? And have you noticed any significant changes between the two sectors at all?
Yeah, they are. It's different. I mean, look, B2C, there's a lot more data. So there's a lot of signals to look at. There's a lot of different ways to cut the data and make decisions with it. A lot more opportunity to experiment, because you can, again, as mentioned, slice and dice the data in a way. So A/B testing is the norm. The B2B aspect, there was a transition. It's slower. I mean, that's the first thing I would say. It's definitely slower, because it's more of a, coffee chat as opposed to, drinking shots. So it's definitely about taking your time, understanding the consumers. I think where the Product Marketing Alliance and all those toolkits that are built really come in handy is when you're in the B2B world, especially because it is a little bit more nuanced. But what I like about it is that there's a real human element to it, whereby on the digital side in B2C digital, it's very much run by algorithms, it's very much performance marketing based, which does play a role in B2B. But the fact that sales teams are basically still human-to-human interactions, especially for those larger enterprise deals, and just generally, it is a very human-to-human conversation. It's very interesting to figure out how you then bridge the gap from a really fast-paced world of B2C into the B2B world, and working out how do you set the sales guys up for success. So that's effectively your marketing channel. It's a channel. How do you enable them in a way to be successful? What does the engine look like? What are the different investments you need to make? Things like events, for instance. Events is something that feels a little bit old school. It's been done to death, really, but it's still somewhat is applicable here, but you can't really measure it properly. So one thing is that there's definitely a dilution in measurement because the volume is just not there. But what it is the fact that if you stick to some strong roots in B2B and sort of every month as you go on the journey, start capturing data points through the course of your period of the year or 2 years, you get a healthy set of data to make decisions on. I think that's the biggest change, working out how you become more data-centric in a B2B world. That's been the biggest shift. So a bit slower, a little bit less data, but a lot more nuanced, a lot more threading the needle type activity than B2C.
Okay, great. And obviously, before transitioning into the full stack role, you had a successful career as a product marketer. But what is it specifically that prompted you to like actively pursue that role as a full stack marketer? And how does it differ working in full stack marketing from the world of product marketing?
So it's a great question. You know, as mentioned, the genesis of product marketing started with data with me. And then as I went through the different companies and roles and teams, et cetera, I built out a model of what I think product marketing looked like, which is inbound versus outbound, which I touched on a little bit earlier. And then transitioning into full stack, it was really interesting because product marketing gave me the foundation to fundamentally make decisions with data. And one of my main motivations is that it was to figure out how do I now spread myself into different areas and stitch this narrative together? Because product marketing is one aspect of the marketing stack. When you look at performance marketing, design, create, you know, the creative aspect, the branding aspect, the content aspect, the web operations aspect, Jesus, customer research aspect, insights aspect, it's a huge beast. It's an engine. So product marketing is the smallest element of it. So it was an easy transition because the common golden thread across all things is data. You need to be able to understand how to make decisions with data. If you're a brand marketer, it's a bit tougher because you're more focused on building awareness and perception over time. It's hard to pull that data. Sometimes you've got to wait for a significant amount of data points till you can actually do that. And to influence that takes time, a lot of investment. It's more slower. But a product marketer is you're working at the pace of the product roadmap. And if there's iterations of features, there's a lot of things that you need to work through. You have to be really on it. You need to understand what that looks like. So for me, the aspiration was, how do I now apply this and spread it out a little bit more? And I saw it as a challenge. I thought, let's just try it out, see what happens. It was a risky move for me, but it's, you know, glad to say it's paying off.
Oh, no, it's always great to obviously dive into something that's perhaps a little bit of the area of the unknown. And, you know, I guess that's when things are the most exciting, really. And, you know, you don't want to be stuck in a career that's stale and predictable. So it's always nice to try something new. Yeah.
Exactly. I agree.
And looking at some of the transferable skills that you've applied from your time in product marketing into your role as a full stack marketer, you kind of briefly touched upon like the data element side, the data element and that side of things. But what would you consider to be like the quintessential transferable skills that you've taken across to full stack marketing that have helped you to successfully transition into that area?
It's a really good question. Again, I think it's the structure and adaptation. So that's definitely what has transferred over. Structure in the sense that, as mentioned, and I'll talk a bit about my framework because it's worth the listeners just hearing out how this looks. So when I talk about inbound and outbound, under inbound, I put two things, which is analyzing prospects, understanding, what the actual product is and what the goals are, KPIs. Testing and learning, start doing some A-B testing, figure out, will there be a fit? Does the PMF, does it meet some level of PMF requirement? If you go into outbound, you have launch and learn. Launch something, learn quickly, which is really important. And then finally, iterate and grow. So this framework itself was sort of the basis of really me understanding how to apply the product marketing trade. And then sort of transferring it into the bigger stage, it was about how to adapt that and build a structure around that for the broader role. So that's essentially how I transferred. And there's a lot of transferable skills, but I think nurturing your own PMM model and what I call is a modular framework, that's the name of the framework, means that you can remove things, you can adapt it to a different scenario, and it's always evolving. It's always an evolving story. And the product marketing function is definitely evolving with, you have growth managers. Growth management or growth managers is, for me, a fundamental part of what inbound marketing is. We do a lot of the understanding of the users and analysis of the and constructs there. So yeah, that inbound and outbound bit was the critical piece, which I call structure and adaptation, which allowed me to transfer it over into the full stack world.
Okay, awesome. And in terms of like looking at some of the most important characteristics, I mean, obviously characteristics being totally different to like actual like soft and hard skills. And what would you consider to be the most important characteristics of what a successful full stack marketer actually looks like?
Number one is versatility. You need to be reasonably well versed in multiple marketing disciplines. So you don't need to be a master of all, because then it defeats the purpose. It's too complex. It's evolving. But you need to have a good sort of view and construct in your mind of what this looks like across digital content, SEO, social, email marketing, paid, and be able to pivot across all the different areas. I think that is really critical. But when it comes to being versatile, you need to be analytical. You need to think about how to analyze the different trends as well. And I think the third one is creativity or storytelling. So a marketer, or what, you know, what is marketing? You're storytellers. You're fundamentally telling a story, and all these different channels are your chapters. So you need to be able to fundamentally be really creative in a way that builds the first volume of your story, the second volume, the third volume, which is almost like tethered together, and that it'll stack, will build up into a, you know, profound series of insight that would benefit not only the business but the consumer, because you're giving them value and you're bringing disproportionate value back. There's other things as well. I would say technical skill. So, you know, the audience that's listening, I think it's really important to understand that you can't get away from this. It's just, you cannot just fall into giving that, you know, this is a trap almost, just giving the data responsibility to data scientists or analysts. You need to be able to understand data, mine data, use SQL, really sort of figure out how large data sets are sort of built and mine them. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to have to be a specialist in data scientist or, you know, or that discipline. It's more to do with the fact that you've got to be able to understand what data you need, what signals you need to you know, attract from them or extract, and then move it over into a decision-making environment. And last, I would say, is communication and collaboration. You need to be, you know, part of the storytelling thing is you need to really be consistent with that communication, and you need to be sticky in the business. So you need to be able to have people believe in you. And one thing that people miss in marketing, everyone, you know, falls into this outbound marketing piece, but marketing internally is super critical. So by marketing internally, building that communication, the collaboration, you are better serving your customers internally, who will better serve their customers externally. So I think those are some of the characteristics that I would say that really, you know, full stack marketer would definitely need to have.
We're taking a quick break to tell you about our plans for an exciting new report, the State of Product Marketing Metrics Report 2023. In 2022, our research revealed 56.4% of PMMs identified metrics and reporting as one of their core responsibilities. So, we'll be honing in on the intricacies of the area, bringing you answers to your burning questions, such as, what are the most common product marketing metrics? How are product marketers sharing metrics and reports with other teams? How do leaders use metrics to assess team performance? Which metrics tools are being used by product marketers and why? Which challenges are faced when reporting on metrics? And how much budget is devoted to metrics and reporting? But first, we need your input, your support, your expertise. Please head to www.productmarketingalliance.com/get-involved, complete the survey, and contribute to a write-up that's sure to revolutionize your approach to internal reporting processes. Now, let's head back to the podcast.
In terms of looking at like where full stack marketers actually like sit, so there is almost like sometimes an almost like a perceived like viewpoint that full stack marketers are almost like entrepreneurial in their approach, and there's almost like a consideration that startups are perhaps like the home to full stack marketers. But to what extent do you agree with this like viewpoint, and where do you think full stack marketers are best positioned to like almost like perform to their optimum potential?
That's a really good question, connected to my previous answer, which is around sort of versatility, being analytical or being creative, technical. I personally believe that a full stack marketer is better sort of developed and the skills honed in at a startup, because marketing is a luxury function. Let's be honest. It's a one that's always, you know, last in, first out. That's what traditionally happens to this. But if you were to get in at a startup and I think really cement product marketing as basically the way in, especially because product is so core to a startup. I think it's a beautiful journey from then on to go into full stack market. So I agree with that assertion, because it's important that you sort of figure out the early stage how to budget properly. Because in the bigger corporations, you know, I'm sorry to say, but throwing money around like anything, it's just spent and almost the measurement is lackluster. But in a startup, every dollar counts. So you sort of kind of fall into this strange environment of sink and swim and build versus buy. So how much can you build internally, really push yourself from a growth perspective, creativity perspective? Like, I've built brand guidelines myself. I've built brand propositions myself. I've built all these things myself, whereby a lot of people come go to an agency, which is nothing wrong with that. But at a startup, if you want to really be an entrepreneur, you're going to have to put those what they call long yards or hard yards into the journey and get there. So I definitely think that there doesn't mean that working in a big company, you can't be an amazing full-stack marketer. I just think that the growth trajectory is just slower, because it's everything is set up already for success. There's just things there. So it's about running around, you know, the 400-meter track, and you're passing the, you know, the baton over, you know, in a relay race. That's what that feels like. Whereas in a startup, you're actually building that track. You're setting everything up. You're putting the paint down, you know, the turf, everything. You're doing everything from zero to one. So that's why it's important.
Okay. And almost like looking at like your, you know, personal experience and the skill sets that, you know, that you've kind of honed within your career, you know, organization and, you know, team management, you know, seemingly being like something that you've really like crafted, you know, during your years so far. And whilst, you know, I was, you know, looking at your, some of your experience on LinkedIn, I noticed that you'd managed a team that spanned, you know, the UK, Africa, and of course now Dubai, where you're now based. But what advice would you give a product marketer who may be managing a team with team members who are situated across different countries and continents?
So, great question. I think fundamentally, what I would give it, as a piece of advice to, you know, anyone, including product marketers, is sort of really hone in on what your leadership style is and really focus on developing that. So what is leadership? It's the sort of ability to inspire others to get the best out of them and have them sort of develop the and execute on, you know, best work. So for me, it was all about developing that aspect and figuring out how I then cascade that down into the different teams. And you know, I have teams where I have managers who are managing teams. So it's a big org. More than anything, as probably, you know, product marketers are starting out in this area, fundamentally first, understand, you know, what do you need in your team? Who are the key heads and roles that you need in that team? Building from there, you should always make sure that you have the right culture fit. You need to make sure that you have you know, a set of OKRs, some level of structure, some level of ritual, some level of routine. These are really, really important things, especially if you're trying to build out a team. The one thing I've noticed, especially in this region, and also sometimes in the UK, where teams are brought in, they do like a 100-day plan. It's all very good and exciting. And then 100-day plan never turns into a 200-day plan, 300-day. It just ends. So that consistency, the clarity, the credibility would really emerge from being really process-driven, in my view. But don't be almost shackled with the whole process as well, because if you are in a marketing team especially, you're going to hinder creativity. So from a team perspective, really think about your leadership style. Think about who are the key people you need to hire, what are the sort of non-negotiables, and hire well. I mean, it's not easy. It's very hard. I always say the work is easy. Dealing with people is very tough, and it should definitely be taken seriously.
Yeah, sure. I can imagine that the almost like the temptation is that, you know, if you need a member of a team to fill a void, you know, it can be quite easy to just kind of dive in and just like recruit anybody. But, you know, I totally understand where you're coming from when you say you need to make sure that, you know, you are getting the right characters on board. You know, it's not necessarily just about the right skill sets. You know, they need to be with the other team members, right?
100%. I mean, one bad apple can really upset the apple cart, and I've seen it happen already. And it can get really bad. So, and it's very tough. It's very tough to identify those things.
And it's sticking with the topic of, you know, building a team and managing a team. What are some of the challenges that you faced whilst building your respective team? And, you know, how have you, you know, more importantly, overcome these challenges and all these obstacles and, you know, come out the other side of it?
So, I mean, connected to your previous question, with the team spanning across the different time zones, et cetera, you always find that sort of sweet spot where everyone can talk and meet up and you do projects remotely. I think the whole remote working piece has really accelerated in recent years. So you do find it reasonably easy. But the challenges are, I think, especially when hiring, kind of connected to my previous point, that I've experienced personally is, you know, you get a few bad actors in your team and then you have to make that decision to remove them. It's as simple as that. It's a case of really understanding, taking the learning from this process of when you're hiring people, make sure they meet the requirement for being the right cultural fit, which is very difficult to do. But you can sort of really sense this really early on, put the right sort of controls in place. And that's been some of my challenges, really, is, you know, finding people who are probably not the right fit, but they passed a range of different interviews, and they're just gonna, this happens. There's no real way to avoid it because this will happen, but you got to make those decisions and those hard decisions. And that comes back to your previous point around leadership. Whereas it's all fun and sexy to say, hey, I'm managing a team, look at me, but it doesn't mean anything until you really have to make hard decisions. And trust me, I've made a few, and that's been some of the most challenging, but the most liberating, and from a growth perspective, has definitely made me hone in my leadership skills and what I should look out for in the future. So what I'd say to aspiring product marketers in the management area, building a team is, it's all well and good when it's going well, but you got to think about when it's not going well. And that is the true test of leadership. Are you ready to stand up to that challenge?
Yeah, definitely. It's not all roses, is it? As a leader or a manager, it's almost like part and parcel of the role.
Yeah. It's not for everyone, I'd say. It's some people think they want to be a people manager, but one of my previous managers, he had a pretty large team, but he really didn't enjoy it. He liked being an IC, and there's nothing wrong with that. But don't do it because your friend is doing it or because it will look good on his CV. Do it because it feels right, and you have those the necessary steps that you've taken to kind of build that in your leadership style. Really hone in on this. I'll give you one last thing. You know, what I do in my team meetings is I ask everyone to go around the table, what is your personal professional win for the week? And that straight away builds a safe space for them to just talk about what they've been doing in the personal life. Helps the team build better synergy as well. So it's just one thing that I do. Just want to share that, but it's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, you just going back to what you were saying then, you know, some people, you know, may not necessarily want to be a leader, and, you know, they're more comfortable with being, you know, in like an IC or whatever. But like, how, I mean, some people may just say like, oh, it may just fall into place, and like, if you know, then you know. But as a leader yourself, like, when did you almost like realize, you know, what was like the moment when the penny drops for you, you know, for you, that you thought, right, I really want to be a leader and this is the path that I want to go down?
I think I've always sort of had it in me, but when I started to learn a little bit more about how leaders lead and how they inspired me, like Jeff Weiner, one of my previous managers, give him a shout out, Alex Sullenberg, these guys really inspired me. And I just felt that I have an inkling to do this in my way. And I think fundamentally this probably stems from the fact that there's so many different leadership styles out there, but I was so used to seeing almost one linear style. And once you saw the sort of variety on the spectrum, it made me feel that this is probably the penny drop moment that actually I could put my own style to this and edge, and empathetic leaders who almost are indistinguishable from your teammates is the future. It's frankly the future. You should not be sitting away from your team. You should be sitting in. You should be in the mosh pit with them. And that's naturally my nature, is to just roll sleeves up and work with them, not sit back and point. Those days are over. And it's almost disrespectful to even people you hire when you do that. And you know what? You get the best out of your team. It's as simple as that. They really, really appreciate that. So one-to-one time when you're sort of solving a problem. And that is the best way to approach it. And that was a penny drop moment, because my natural personality is falling into line with the way the market is trending from a management, a leadership aspirational perspective.
Okay. And just kind of like rewinding a little bit to what we were saying before about, like, I'd say, like, managing a team, building a team. So obviously you've built like a team from the ground up. Like, you've had experience from just like taking a team from like zero and like just rolling with it and building it. But what's your go-to advice for a product marketer who may either have an existing team that they want to scale and make bigger, or, you know, just start a total team from scratch?
If they want to scale a team, it all comes down to what I mentioned earlier, the data. So what are you actually doing to date in terms of your output? What sort of, from an ROI perspective, what are you delivering? And in terms of capacity, how are you measuring capacity in terms of how much your employees are actually conducting? And the way to do that is to essentially, you track, and again, not over-track, but you track what they're up to. You work out the man hours, you work out what's been done, almost in a sprint style system, which comes from the product world. And then you sort of work out their behavioral and attitudinal sort of balance or imbalance. And from there, you can kind of work out if you need more resources. So typically, that's what I would do, is to figure out, all right, how much are they doing right now? Is there a balance between how they, their attitude towards work and their behavior towards work in terms of their output? And then take it from there. So, to give an example, I would essentially, right now, I need a copywriter because, we're scaling so fast. The content is getting a lot of traction. And, we feel that, and I feel personally that my content guy is burning out because the hours he's spending on pieces. So, it is a little bit of back and forth, but start with the data. The data will tell you, it will at least give you a signal of which way to go. And in terms of like starting the team from scratch, it depends on what you're achieving. So when you have product marketing, it's really interesting because the way I set up product marketing in the past is, typically you'd want to be assigned or aligned with a product manager, and they will have probably one product that they're looking after. And this is not an ideal word. This is either on LinkedIn, but they do partner with that person. So if you're a product marketing leader and you have like a range of different products, the easiest thing to do is to figure out, should you be a product marketer? If you want to hire a product marketer, should that product marketer be product agnostic or market agnostic? How many products are actually there? What requires more of a push versus pull on these products as well? So it's really interesting to figure that out. And then you sort of get into a sense of, what you need. LinkedIn, we had product marketing directors, and then underneath them, we had a few different products in front of the news feed, the messaging piece, all that aspect, even the profile page. All of them had dedicated product managers. All of them had dedicated product marketers. So it all depends on your budget, your appetite, the belief of product marketing. But fundamentally, if you want to get buy-in, you need to show results. And it comes back to my framework of analyzing prospects, understanding your true north, your signposts, your guardrail metrics. Seeing that through to test and learn, seeing that through to launch and learn, seeing that through to iterate and grow, and tying that back and say, we spent X on producing this product in terms of man hours and resources. We spent Y on extra marketing spend, and the result is Z. And basically, if you want more of this, we basically need to invest in. So you got to go down to the unit economics, and that's how you can get buy-in. Sometimes you just get leaders who generally just want to invest in product marketing, and that's fine as well. But let data do the talking, but don't so from analysis paralysis, really try to hone in a little bit on what do you think the key metrics are. So that'd be my advice. It's sort of worked for me, but it's not like a silver bullet. It's not like you click your fingers, it'll happen. You've got to build some level of credibility.
That's great. And just to kind of wrap things up, it's been a really, obviously, a really insightful chat. It's a topic that we've not really focused on the podcast previously. So thanks so much for bringing your perspectives to this episode. And I just wanted to kind of wrap up by asking you, what do you think the future looks like for full stack marketing? And do you envision that perhaps more product marketers will follow a path similar to your own and like decide to transition from, specializing within product marketing to almost like moving over to a more full stack approach?
So let me do the other way around. I think product marketers are definitely more set up to handling where, the future of full stack marketing is going. It's as simply put as that, because of the influx and the sort of like access we have to data. We have a lot of access. So fundamentally, what I believe is that because product marketing comes from that place and a lot of startups and businesses focus so much on product, it's a natural piece. And where do I see full stack marketing going? Well, given that marketing is such a great area, it's a luxury function, it's definitely going to, again, go more into the data aspect. But where it's going to get more fun is in the world of AI and how now marketing AI tools are going to start really impacting how marketers market. So basically, we are going to be seeing a lot of tools, being built and a lot of efficiencies being gained just by AI. And I think that's going to help full stack marketers. Now, what's the positive of that? The positive is you're going to have a lot of speed to market, which I think is, everyone is impatient. So time to market is going to be, a key value proposition. But the negative is I think you might start to see a lot of marketing, full stack marketing teams become a little bit smaller as a result. So to my previous point, hire the key heads, hire SMEs, nurture younger people. So I think full stack marketing is, fortunately, however you say it, is heading down the AI route. It's exciting, but there's definitely challenges as well.
That's great. Sandy, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure welcoming you to the podcast, and all the very best for 2023.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for also having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. Remember, we have an extensive back catalogue of episodes waiting to be explored, as well as dedicated series focusing on core product marketing areas such as storytelling, go-to-market, leadership, sales enablement, competitive intelligence, and much more. For the full selection, head to www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.